Well, folks, we are here yet again this week for our culture segment and introducing you to another new friend for the Boundless Show. We have Lucille Williams here. Hey, Lucille.
Hello.
It is so great to have you here. Very fun. We always love it when we can bring in folks who have, who are just a few steps further along on the road or have some expertise that we feel like our folks can benefit from. And so they can listen in and kind of be like, hey, Lucille, what do you know? How are you going to help me? How are you going to fix my entire life, right. Lucille?
Or a lot further down the road in my case. Way down the road.
Oh, no, not at all. We're going to talk actually today, everyone, listen up, because she wrote a book called From Me to We, so you know what that's about. We love talking about relationships here at The Boundless Show. This is actually kind of a premarital guide, but we're availing ourselves of it because whether or not you are engaged, whether or not you are even dating right now, you know, here at The Boundless Show, we're big fans of get some knowledge and some expertise and some practice and some sanctification early on in the process because it will benefit you down the road, regardless of where your relationship
status
ends up. So, Lucille is a pastor's wife. She's a mom. She's an author. She's also trained in Prepare Enrich, which is a marriage training. In fact, some of our folks here have been very involved in that as well. So, a counselor's heart in that sense. And she's even a grandmother, which is shocking. I mean, you don't look like a grandma.
Thank you.
So she doesn't at all. The book, like I said, is From Me to We, A Premarital Guide for the Bride and Groom to Be. So we're going to just, we're going to pick your brain, Lucille. We need to get some insight here. And I know you have a lot of professional experience, but also just from your personal experience of being married and helping kind of your own kids move down that road as well. So, I want you to kind of kick off because we love it when we can learn from our guests personally. You had a little story that you shared from the last day of your honeymoon. this idea that, you know, there's a lot of assumption out there. And of course, our audience, okay, y'all, you're all clued in. I understand it. You know, you don't think that marriage is going to fix you. You don't think that marriage is going to answer all your problems. You don't think it's going to complete you. You don't. Okay, some of you do, and that's why you're listening. But Lucille, you actually learned the reality of marriage beyond romance, beyond excitement, beyond completion on your honeymoon. Tell us a little bit of that story.
Yes, I did. And you are talking to me when it comes to the concept of getting completed by getting married. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the be-all, end-all. Get married. Life is going to be bliss and wonderful. And that was my end goal. I just have to get married. I have to get married. And so we took a honeymoon and we took a cruise and it was going wonderful. We were having a great time. You know, everything is done for you on a cruise and we were just having a fabulous time. And we, on the last night, they take your luggage. So I told my husband, hey, we'll just keep our clothes, the clothes we're going to wear for tomorrow. We'll put them on tonight and then we'll have less to carry around. You know, I thought I was brilliant. He was like, I don't know if that's such a good idea. I'm like, oh no, trust me. It'll be fine. Don't worry. It'll be fine. So we turned in all our luggage. All we had was what we were wearing that night. We were having a great time eating and just dancing, having a great time. And we ended up at a table with other couples who had been recently married. We made friends on our cruise and it was an oval table and we were like on the inside. We were like in the middle and there was people on either side of us. And all of a sudden, everything was going great. And then all of a sudden, my husband put his head back and he started vomiting like a volcano. It erupted and we're sitting nice, cozy and tight because, you know, we're married. And so we're close and his vomit is just spewing out all over him. It's spewing out all over me and it just kept coming. It didn't think it was ever going to stop. And then suddenly it stopped and no one said a word. It was just silence. We're sitting there in vomit, both him and me. No one even snickered. And we were so humiliated. And no one said anything. They just moved. We got out and we went to our room. So now I have a problem. What are we going to do? This is all we have to wear.
Yeah.
And it's got vomit on it.
Yeah.
So I found someone.
Now it's cruise ship apparel time.
Exactly. I was like, oh no. So I tried to find out if we could get our clothes back. We could not. They had already taken our bags. And so I found some laundry soap. Someone gave me some laundry soap. And I'm in the bathroom of this tiny little room in this tiny little bathroom in this tiny little sink, and I'm looking at vomited clothes, mine and his, in this sink, and I'm trying to get the vomit out, and I'm scrubbing, and I stand there and I look down and I said to myself, this is marriage. This is marriage. I was 19 years old.
Wow.
And it was a reality check. Like, this isn't the end all be all. This is the beginning of vomit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big realization. And you did, you alluded to your age. I think you guys were 19 and 20, right?
So just. He was 21.
Okay. Okay. So pretty young, you know, by certainly by today's standards, where the average marriage age has climbed.
I don't recommend it. It was dumb. It was a dumb thing to do.
Oh. Well, okay. You also like to debunk this myth that marriage is a 50-50 agreement. This idea that, you know, if you pull your weight, I'll pull my weight, and hopefully we'll, you know, be a team working together, and it'll just be equitable, and everything will always be like, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But you say that's an actual terrible mindset. What is the alternative, Lucille? What should folks go into marriage
thinking? Yes, 50-50 is not the way to do marriage, because if we're doing 50-50, we do our part and then we're waiting for what's coming. If I say, okay, this is a 50-50 agreement, well, I did this, so now what are you going to do? And so what happens is you're always looking at your spouse saying, well, what are you going to do for me? When that is not marriage. Marriage is about getting up every day and saying, what can I do for them? How can I bless them today? And not focusing on what they're doing, because as soon as you focus on them and things they're not doing, we're always going to find something. Always going to find something. Oh, he didn't do his hair the way I like today. And oh, I got him that shirt and he still hasn't worn it. And this, we can always find things we can nitpick about our spouse. But when we look at it and go, okay, what's my responsibility? My responsibility is giving it my all, giving it my 100% every single day.
Yeah, so true. And I think, you know, I've heard married women even say before, you know, well, I would love my husband so much more if he just did this, or if my husband was just this way. You know, I can't love my husband because he's not this or that. And, you know, I've heard it said, in fact, I think Paul Tripp is one person that says this all the time, the idea of like, your resources are going to come from Christ. This is not even an equation where you're putting your husband into it. Now, granted, if he's healthy and he's all loving you, awesome, blessing, whatever, but you don't sit there with your hands folded and say, can't do it because I don't have, you know, the capacity to do that. So true. Okay, so let's talk about dating people, though, because we often say, you know, when you're dating, keep your eyes wide open, because you, at that point, have choices. You have the ability to use wisdom, use discernment. You have the ability to get out of a relationship. But what is the, you know, we're all selfish people, Lucille. I mean, I'm not as selfish as other people, obviously. But, you know, we're all selfish people. And how do you kind of assess a person's character, knowing, you know, you're looking for someone who's others focused, but you also don't want to be super judgmental about it and negate like every person in the human race because you're going to find some flaw with them. How do you know what to look for when you're truly looking for that character and integrity?
When you're dating someone, signs are out there. People sometimes will ignore it because when you fall in love, it's like you're on a drug. It's like you're that love drug and you're just so head over heels for them and you don't see the signs. And sometimes you need other people to come in and go, did you notice this? This is not good, because later on, this could be a problem. And that's why on my site, lusez.com, L-U, I put together the marriage material quiz. It's how to find out if the person you're dating would be an Ephesians 5 spouse. And there's questions there that you can go through and say, okay, are they this? Are they that? And then there's a tally at the end and it gives you some really good sound advice. Because the first step in marriage is choosing well. Because you could get married, you could give it your all, and one day your spouse could go, I'm done. I don't care. I want to be with someone else and I'm leaving. And there's nothing you could do about that. Yes, you could do the best you can. But at the end of the day, sometimes that happens. And there's probably listeners out there right now that happened to them, where their spouse came home or something happened and their spouse is like, no, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. So it's so important to really get to know who that person is, because it's a big decision. It's one of the biggest ones you'll ever make.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of people think, you know, there are a lot of young adults today who are so fearful of going into marriage because they haven't seen marriage done well. Their parents had a broken marriage. They're grown up in a culture with absent dads, whatever. So they're like, well, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to live with my boyfriend for a while. We're going to kind of practice this thing. We're going to do whatever. And I think a lot of times they don't reveal their true selves because mm-hmm. they're hopeful that if they can just keep the facade, then things will hum along. You actually have a lot to say about damaging secrets in the book, and you have a story from your own story about a secret that you had to deal with right after you got married. Give us a little insight into that.
Secrets. Yes, during the dating process, you can put forward your best foot. Even if you're living together, which I don't recommend, and scripture says that's not a good idea, but you're a representative of yourself. You're putting your best foot forward all the time, and so are they. And that's why sometimes singles that read my book, they love it. I've been getting tremendous response from single people because they're like, I had no idea this is what marriage looked like. It's a good thing to read to go, okay, is this something I really want to do? But when you get married, all the stuff that you bury, all of your secrets, all of that stuff that you tried to keep hidden, all the stuff that you tried to keep down, it's kind of like a floaty when you go swimming and you put it under the water. You can only keep it down for so long. And you can keep it down through your dating process and maybe your engagement, but at some point, it's going to pop up. All the ugly, nasty stuff that's buried deep, deep inside. Well, that was me. I had a lot of ugly, nasty stuff that was buried deep that I hid from my husband. And one of my biggest secrets was that I was struggling with an eating disorder. I had bulimia and no one knew. I was the only one that knew. And my husband was the first one to find out about it. And so he found out about it and he got so scared. He knew that it was dangerous and he knew that I could die from it. It wasn't just a little light thing. It was serious. I was passing out. My cycle had stopped. I mean, I was in really bad shape. And so what my husband did, he called my parents and he told them. He called my sister and he told her. He told all of my family. He told his family, his mom and dad. He told all of my friends, anyone that cared about me, all the bridesmaids that were in my wedding. He called them and said, you know what she's doing? And then he told me, you have to stop. You have to stop this. But I couldn't. It was a disease. I couldn't stop. I wanted to stop, but I couldn't. I had no control over it. And so finally, I got some help. I had a girlfriend who kept calling me. She said, Lou, you have to get some help. You have to get some help. You can't fight this on your own. And so I wasn't angry with my husband. I knew he saved my life. I knew what he did saved me because then I reached out and I got some help. And then I was able to get tools to where I could overcome.
Yeah. So what would you have said? What would have been a better case scenario, like during your dating process or engagement process, to actually reveal that and get the help? Because I think a lot of, you know, singles who are dating are like, okay, so I went out to coffee with her. Should I, on the first date, reveal that I am barely dealing with a porn addiction? Should I bear? I mean, clearly, you know, early on in the relationship, let's not, you know, be TMI people. But what, how do you do that in a way that, you know, preserves, is honoring the person's heart, is scripturally, scripture-based and stuff like that,
right,
on a good timeline?
Well, definitely not in the beginning because you're just getting to know each other. You don't want to reveal that kind of stuff. You don't even know if that person's someone that's safe. But later on, when it's someone you love, then you could start talking about the stuff. And that's one thing that in From Me to We, it talks about unpacking your baggage together and talking about some things that need to come out. It's always best to talk through it before you get married, because then you're not walking down the aisle going, oh no, if they knew this about me, they would not love me. If I told them this, they're not going to love me anymore. They would run. But if you reveal those things and they go, okay, like I know with my husband, there were multiple things throughout our marriage that I just didn't tell him because I just didn't feel safe yet. And as I would reveal things that were just horrible in my mind, that were shame filled and just, I thought I was this horrible person, and I would tell him things and my husband would go, oh, okay. And I'd be like, oh, he still loves me. It didn't matter one bit. I could tell you that I did this or I felt that or I said this or this is what I did or this is what I've kept hidden for the last 30 years. And you're like, okay. And I was like, wow. And that's a picture of who God is. That's God's love. God knows everything about us. And we can reveal to God what's going on. And he doesn't love us any less. He loves us the same. He loves us in spite of who we are. And when you find somebody that loves you for you, when you become vulnerable with them and you tell them what is inside and they still love you, that's the magic and intimacy in marriage that'll go the long run, because then they feel safe talking to you. Mm-hmm. Because we all got stuff. We mm-hmm. all got stuff. Everybody listening knows we all got stuff.
Yeah. We talked a little bit on the front end of our conversation about the assumption that, you know, the transition into marriage is going to be easy because I love this person. And it's kind of like, you know, I'm just going to have this awesome roommate for the rest of my life and whatever. But I love asking married couples. And I want to ask you, what are a couple things that you discovered that were probably unexpected, like things that were more difficult in becoming we than even you expected? You know, I mean, obviously the sharing secrets, the uncovering the shame, the dealing with stuff that was really deep-rooted. But what were just some of those things that you thought would be smooth sailing and you're like, oh my goodness, here is my selfishness cropping up?
Definitely. I just remember one of the things that I experienced in the early years of my marriage. And now, mind you, we weren't Christians. We didn't become Christians till later. But I felt stuck. Mm. I felt trapped. I felt like I was in prison and there was no way out. Mm. Somehow I knew that marriage goes to the end, that there's just no back door. You can't just say no. I just knew that even though 2 weeks before my wedding, I told my dad, I go, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll just divorce him. I said those words. I seriously said those words. But once I don't know, there was something about standing in the church and saying to God, yes, I'm going to be with this man until I die or until he dies. And that's it. And I just knew I was in it forever. I just knew that I'm a person of my word. I'm committed and I was going to stay in it. But then that also meant I was stuck and I was miserable and I was in prison and I felt like I had chains on me. And it was one of the worst things I've ever been through in my life.
Wow. Yeah. So give us some ideas, because a lot of single folks out there, like I said, you know, maybe they're not dating or maybe they're trying to date someone or whatever place they are on the continuum. What are some practical ways that single young adults can start living right now to shed some selfishness? What are some great ways to practice for marriage in the sense of letting go of me, being others focused, thinking, I mean, because it's all, you know, I've been single, never married. I always told people, I actually just got a roommate, you know, not too long ago. I lived by myself. And I'm like, that was like super awesome. I did like whatever I wanted, when I wanted, had my friends over when I wanted. And now I'm like, can I have my friends over? You know, so it's a weird thing. But what are a few other things that you would say are kind of good selflessness training grounds?
Well, I think that one thing scripture tells us is we are to have some kind of a ministry. Mm. If you're a Christian and you love God and you read your Bible, the Bible says we serve others. It said Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve others. And that's our model. And if you are single, you're single so that you could serve the body, so that you could serve other people. And that's where true fulfillment comes in, is when you are serving others. I think of a man who mentors my youngest son. And he has young men. He's a single man, but he has young men that he chooses, that he sees potential in, and he mentors them. And he's such a wonderful man. His name is Dave, and he has mentored my son for years. He's so selfless. He says, okay, and in fact, sometimes he'll contact Joseph and say, hey, we haven't met. When are we going to meet again? He's using his singleness for the body of Christ and to serve others.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's something that should continue into marriage too. You know, I mean, it's a great thing that once you get that training ground going, then you as a couple can begin serving other couples. You can serve in the church together. It's how we're called to live in Christ. So, well, folks, the book is From Me to We. We've been talking with Lucille Williams from a lot of her own experience and just what she has learned in counseling other couples and people moving towards marriage. Lou, it has been so great to have you with us here. And we do want you to remember, she mentioned that assessment. We're going to link to that on the blog. So hop over there. You can check it out, see what's up in your own relationship, and hopefully get some good guidance and good clarity on that front. So thanks so much, Lou.
Thank you.